Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our Old Testament reading for this Palm Sunday is recorded for us in the prophet Zechariah, the 9th chapter, the prophecy Jesus fulfilled as He came into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is recorded for us in Paul's letter to the Philippians, the 2nd chapter. It's a familiar section. I am going to add a few verses because it's a whole section. So we're going to actually start. I will start reading at Philippians 2, verse 1. And then we'll continue through the rest of our reading, 5 through 11. Paul writes as the Holy Spirit carries him along. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We join in our psalmody, Psalm 24. "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? Behold, your King is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a colt, on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." I invite the congregation to please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John, the 12th chapter. These events happen before Palm Sunday, but they are sort of a lead up to Palm Sunday. It's the promise that God will glorify his Son again. "Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life will lose it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even many of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. These are the words from John's account of that magnificent day, the day when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and the crowd heard it. And as soon as they saw him, they started throwing down their cloaks on the road. And then if they didn't have cloaks, outer garments, that they brought along with them that day, they threw down palm branches. And as soon as they started seeing him, they threw it all down. Like thus, like any other king, Jesus was treated with great respect that day from the people. However, unlike any other king, Jesus did not come wearing a crown. He didn't have the finest clothes. There was no jewelry. He didn't come in some chariot, nor was he found on a white stallion. It was a donkey. A donkey. Now, this is supposed to be a great celebration, a parade. Shouldn't he come in style? Throwing candy to all the kids, waving and smiling for the great procession? But here he is, riding a donkey. Now, if you've never had the pleasure of riding a donkey, don't. They are stubborn, they are filthy, and boy, do they smell. But these are creatures not fit for a king. They're work animals, they're beasts of burden, lowly creatures, and for many in Jesus' day, and for many in our world today still, it's a transportation for the poor. But why bother focusing on this? For this wonderful entry into the city of Jerusalem. For one reason. To remind us that even as the King of Israel, even as the Son of God, the life of Jesus is one of humility. This parade is not about the pride that you see in other kings as they come declaring their victory in the city. This parade is a fulfillment of what Zechariah prophesied 500 years before the birth of Christ. Especially when he said, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." This fulfillment made by Christ is the focus of this entire Holy Week. It's a focus of humility. Humility that is something else. It's something that has marked the entire life of Christ. Yes, today, especially when he comes riding in on a donkey without a crown, and people just throw what they have just to give him respect. But if we go back just a few months, back to the day of his birth, you'll see that humility was found there as well. He wasn't born in a palace. He didn't have any stable, didn't have any servants, but he was found in a stable. And more than likely, probably next to a donkey. His whole life, from birth to death, is humility. And as you and I look ahead, the several days that come for Jesus, we are guided to the humility of the cross and the suffering that Jesus will experience along the way there. And he knew how this week was to end. He knew it was coming, but he still went forward. He knew that he was to be humiliated, just like a common criminal, and hung from a tree. But he still rode in on that lowly creature. Now, apart from Christ riding on this donkey, we find humility in the words of these people as they're shouting, "Hosanna!" And you might be thinking, "Oh, it's like a hooray, huzzah!" And the kids, whenever they get something nice, they go, "Yes!" And I wish it was. But it's a plea for help. Hosanna means save us. And of course, these people are crying out. They are desperate. They want someone to overthrow Rome. Someone to free them, someone to give them back what their forefathers had all those years ago. And rather they know it or not, these people are in more desperate need of rescue from sin and death. You know, these words of these people bring up humility, but their actions do just the same. Think about the cloaks there thrown on the ground before Jesus. They're obviously not fancy. I mean, if they would be, if you had fancy garments, why would you throw them out onto the dirty road where animals walk? Even where they're going to be stepped on by this donkey. Only those with ratty, unkempt clothing would even consider doing anything like this. As you put them especially under the feet of foreign travelers. But this is a humble act. By placing these cloaks on the path for Jesus to take, while traveling on a donkey, mind you, they are placing them down out of selflessness and poverty. And we see this similar walk when Christ is made to carry his own cross in just the coming days. And he will not be afforded any dignity in those last hours, as the soldiers will cast lots for his garments, thus leaving him exposed as he dies there on the cross. Just as predicted, especially in the words from David. We hear recorded in his 22nd Psalm, "They divide my garments among them, and from my clothing they cast lots." Humbling, ain't it? To have the few clothes that you own sold right in front of you. These cloaks, meant to recognize who Jesus is, foreshadow that stark reality of what is to come, what is awaiting him here at the end of this week. But as we keep looking throughout this procession, humility is found again and again, especially when we come to these branches. I mean, look at them. This is probably the most green branch I've ever received on Palm Sunday. So green, so vibrant, full of life. And sure, they're pretty and healthy now. But when you bring them home, they will wither. The green, the vibrance of the color will fade. And as they age, they will become brittle to the touch. And most often, as you all well know, they will be burned up, ground up, and used once more for Ash Wednesday in the coming year. They will be placed on someone's forehead while they hear the words, "Dust you are, and to dust you shall return." A great reminder, a humbling reminder that we, as human creatures, are finite and that we do eventually die. But think about this. When you come to Ash Wednesday, what is the symbol, the shape that the ashes are placed on your forehead? No, we're not recreating the scene from The Lion King with Simba. It's not some gang symbol that you pick up around town. It's the shape of the cross. It is the cross of Christ. It is ultimately the work completed by Him right there that will lift us from our poor and miserable states as sinners and free us from sin and death that are inevitable without that cross, without His work. And that brings us to a certain point. All of this whole thing points us back to the cross. Palm Sunday, in fact, has a dual focus. One that looks at the palm parade as they rejoice as Jesus comes in. And one that looks at the passion, the suffering of our Lord that is to come most prominently and spectacularly on the cross. Humility. Everything today is about humility. It was humility that made Christ come into Jerusalem. It's humility in which He will die. And He went willingly. And we're reminded of this especially in the words of Paul in his letter to the Philippians. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. These verses paint rather a vivid picture of the entire life humility in which Jesus led. Which humility, which ultimately came to its most humble point on the cross, where His work was finally completed. But why set up this humble scenario, this painful scene? To make us feel bad? No, it's to remind us of the verses that will follow this. They stand in stark contrast to what we just heard. Hear how Paul writes, "Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Exalted. That is what happens to Christ. A life of humility, but in the end, exalted. Humility on the cross is ultimately a means to an end. The greatest means to the end that there ever was. Jesus humbled Himself completely so He might be exalted over everything. And we bow in humble adoration to the One who is above all in heaven. Our voices will one day shout in celebration to the King of Kings who dwelt in humility so that we might be lifted up to the highest places with Him in paradise. What He did, He didn't do it for Himself, but for the sake of the whole world. He did it for you, for me, to restore what has been once lost. The life we find with Christ is humility, so we don't have to face what he did. So be guided to the cross today. Be guided to the example set forth by the King of Kings. Live a life of humility, caring for others just as Christ cared for you. Let his name be exalted as we join in the throng shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.